Good morning. Good morning. Amen. It's good to be in God's house this morning, even if the house is outside. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. I like it. I like it. Today we're going to hear two words. The first one will come from Isaiah chapter. Give me a second. Hold on. Chapter 6. Verses 1 through 13. Hear the word of God for us today. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him, and each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called in the house filled with smoke, and I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." And then God said, "Say this to people: keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears, and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed." But then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is felled. And the holy sea is its stump." That's our first word of the Lord today, and our second one comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon said, "Master, we've worked all night long, but we've caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they both began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our holy God, we come here today as your people, grateful for the warmth of the sunshine, a pastor grateful for a small propane heater. But most of all, God, we are grateful for you. Grateful that you still reign in this big, beautiful world, that you are still in charge and that you are sovereign, and we are grateful for that. We ask today and every day, fill our hearts with your Spirit. Set our imagination ablaze with your dreams. Let us dream big dreams, for you are a big God. Let us not be hindered by the trappings of this world. Help us to see the kingdom that you want us to bring forth here, now, today, and tomorrow. Help us to have courage to do what must be done to bring about your kingdom. To be your hands and your feet, to love people even when it's hard. Help us to not give up on this task, for it is a holy task that you have given us as your children. A gift from you, the gift of love that you ask for us to share with others. Help us to be open to your word. Let it move us and shape us. And help us not to be scared of the new thing that you are doing in our midst. In your name we pray. And in the name of your Son and our Savior we say, Amen. So, I have a confession to make. Some of you may know this, some of you may not. I am moving into an apartment. Most everything's in place, but not quite everything. So most of the rooms in my apartment are nice and neat, but my living room, I must confess, is still a mess. I still have boxes to unpack, and I keep thinking that I'll get to them tomorrow. Chances are, I'll say this to myself when I get home today and I want to take a nap. I'll say, those back boxes can wait till tomorrow. Yes. So maybe you're the same way. Maybe you have a room that your parents have been hounding you about cleaning. I don't know. I'm just taking a wild guess. Or maybe you need to go home and take out the trash, or maybe fold the laundry and sort it. Maybe it's in a big pile on a dresser or couch. Or maybe there are bills to pay. Nobody likes paying bills. All of these things are things we don't really like to do, but nonetheless, they come around every month, every couple of weeks. There's always something on the to-do list. Well, I think maybe that's what was happening with Simon Peter in our story today. Because he's just finished up a fishing trip. They were out all night. They're folding up their nets. They're getting ready to go home. Maybe, you know, clean up and take a nap too. And Jesus says to go back out and put out the net. And what does Simon Peter say? He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing. Man, I can hear those words. I don't even know, obviously, who Simon Peter was, but I can hear them. I can hear them because we also hear Isaiah say, "How long, O Lord?" We hear it from the minor prophet Habakkuk. He says, "How long, O Lord?" How many days during this pandemic have you said, "How long, O Lord? How long?" It's been a year. Deaths have mounted by the thousands. We continue to wear these things wherever we go. And while we might be hearing about vaccinations, many of us have yet to receive one. And maybe we're thinking, "How long, O Lord?" We're tired. Parents and teachers are tired. Nurses and doctors, those who've been at the bedside of a loved one with no break in the caregiving. It's hard, the task at hand. It is not easy work getting up day in and day out and doing the hard work that needs to be done. Maybe you're not a teacher. Maybe you're not a doctor or a nurse. Maybe you're not a caregiver. Maybe you're just somebody struggling in a relationship. Maybe you're somebody struggling to find a job. Maybe you're somebody struggling in the job that you have, trying to pass an exam. Maybe dealing with folks at school or in your friend circle who aren't the nicest people to be around. Whatever the challenge is that you might face, it was similar to what Simon Peter was facing when Jesus said, "Go throw out your nets again." There, Jesus was saying, "Come on and have faith. Trust me. I know you're tired, but throw out that net one more time." So maybe to himself, Simon Peter, maybe he rolled his eyes. I don't know. But either way, he said, "Okay, if you say so, Master, we'll do it. We'll keep on fishing. We'll keep on working." Even when he didn't really want to, he got back out in the boat with his net. And they did what Jesus asked. And that is where the story turns. They take a chance on trusting Jesus. They don't do what they want to do, which is go home and spend time with their family. Go home and kick their feet up and be lazy for Sunday afternoon. Watch some football, play a game. Not in that moment. Because of who was doing the asking. This was no ordinary fishing trip. They caught so much fish in that trip that it almost sank both boats. Wow. But I want you to stay in that moment for a minute. The moment where Simon Peter had to make a decision. Just like Isaiah. Isaiah had to make a decision. And in case you're thinking that maybe it's all about hauling in a bunch of fish in the boat, let me read to you one more time what Isaiah had to do. Maybe you didn't catch those words. For after he says, "Here I am, Lord, send me," what does God say? He says, "Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes." When Isaiah says, "But how long, O Lord?" he says this in response, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people and the land is utterly desolate." Isaiah is not going to have an easy road as a prophet. But he's obedient anyway. You see, the world would tell us that discipleship is about how God can bless us, about all the good stuff. And I'm not here telling you today that God won't bless you if you're obedient. But I'm telling you, it's not all going to be sunshine and rainbows. Isaiah and Peter realize that they do not set the itinerary for this life of discipleship. Simon Peter knows that the life is not always about mountaintop experiences or doing what he wants. But sometimes when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, or we go on a mission trip, or we see somebody new come into our midst, we feel like we've had a mountaintop kind of day. You remember the Transfiguration? There they were on the mountaintop and they wanted to stay. "Jesus, let's set up tents," they said. Why? Because they wanted to stay there. Who wouldn't? I know I would. Let's stay there all day, Jesus. All week. How about all month? How about let's never come down? Because, man, those mountaintop days are awesome. I'm right there with them. I like a day where I feel on fire for God. But I'm going to tell you, some days you're not going to feel on fire. Some days you're not going to feel like the flame's even lit at all. You're going to feel like a candle burning at both ends and almost all of it's gone. Because some days the life of discipleship is about folding laundry. It's about helping somebody get out of bed that's dealing with cancer or pneumonia or maybe even COVID. It's about paying the bills and sometimes about continuing to fish even when the joy of the fishing trip is already gone. But our culture wouldn't tell us that. What we see on television doesn't tell us that. Some of the pastors on television, I'm not going to name any because I ain't getting in no trouble today, but I'm saying that some of them will emphasize doing what makes you happy, what makes you feel warm and fuzzy. But I'm telling you, the gospel doesn't say that. It's not always easy to say, "Let thy will be done." Makes me think of a pastor some of you have seen on television. Maybe some of you gone to Atlanta to watch him preach in person. His name's Charles Stanley. In the 90s, he went through a decade of trouble and turmoil. And many of the leaders of the church, First Baptist Church in Atlanta, they were asking, demanding he step down. A lot of pastors would cave to that kind of pressure. Not Stanley. Stanley said, no. He told him, he said, I'm not stepping down because I answer to somebody else. He said, I answer to God. And he said in an interview that God, he told him that God had said, keep doing what you're doing until I tell you to do something else. So he told the leaders he wasn't going anywhere. In that moment, he had to put his trust not in the people of the church, but the one he ultimately serves. So he kept fishing. We can't just look to Charles Stanley. There's so many others. I was talking to Pastor Herb just this morning about somebody that I've never met. W.C. Baldwin, who planted these trees. In those early days, I'm guessing it wasn't easy. When this church was small. But look at those trees today. That's what it's about. It's what people like Martin Luther knew and John Calvin. Mother Teresa, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther almost lost his life because of his faithfulness. Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King Jr. did. Mother Teresa could certainly tell some stories about the tough side of faithfulness. For those who have been to Haiti and worked alongside folks there, they know the tough side of faithfulness. So the next time that God asks you to keep fishing, think about these stories. Think about the hymn that we often sing, trust and obey, because there's no other way. Think about the call placed on your life. Think about the love that God has shown you. Not so much about how tired you might be, but at the hope that God gives. Knowing that not what we do is not in vain when it is done at the Lord's command. And it's sometimes in the simple things. It's in the things that sometimes we don't enjoy. Like making a bed or cleaning a room or unpacking some boxes. Because those are the things that are necessary to keep going. To keep going. Helping somebody who can't help themselves. Extending love to someone who might not know love. Extending it to the bully in the classroom because maybe the bully's the one that needs it most. And that's awful hard. It's reaching across the aisle politically, knowing how someone else might believe and knowing that in your heart you think differently, but at the end of the day, does it really matter? It's about doing the tough work of loving each other. That is our task. That's what Jesus came to tell Simon Peter and the disciples. That's why he asked them to take the boat back out. It wasn't really about fish. It was about saying, trust in me.
our Savior. Trust in me. Not because you're going to have endless energy. Not because you're not going to get tired. But because God is the one asking you to do the work. Now, I'm not asking you to put more on your to-do list. I'm not asking you to take up more missions that you're maybe all you can do tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday is get up and go to work or study for your exams or make sure that your bills are paid or that your food is cooked or that your neighbor's food is cooked. Maybe that's all you can do and that's okay. But do it knowing that God is with you in the midst of it. Even in a pandemic, even in the chaos of this world, even in the unrest, God is with us in the boat. We do not do it by ourselves. Isaiah didn't do it by himself. Simon Peter didn't do it by himself, and neither did any of the rest of the disciples, and neither do we. So with God, I'm here to tell you today that we will keep marching on. We will keep loving each other even when the task is hard. Even when everything else in the world, in the headlines, on the newscasts, tell us that we need to hate each other. Because that's what they're telling us. But I'm telling you, this book says something different. And God has not given up on us. Amen? Amen.